of chapter 13. So as with last week, if you can read with me the first two verses of Romans 12, and then I will read the first seven verses of chapter 13. So page 1763, Romans chapter 12, and beginning at verse 1. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Then chapter 13 and verse 1. Everyone must submit himself to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Consequently, he who rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers hold no terror for those who do right, but for those who do wrong. Do you want to be free from fear of the one in authority? Then do what is right, and he will commend you. For he is God's servant to do you good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword for nothing. He is God's servant, an agent of wrath to bring punishment on the wrongdoer. Therefore, it is necessary to submit to the authorities, not only because of possible punishment, but also because of conscience. This is also why you pay taxes, for the authorities are God's servants who give their full time to governing. Give everyone what you owe him. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. If revenue, then revenue. If respect, then respect. If honor, then honor. We're going to end the reading of God's word there this morning. I think there are periods in every country's history which greatly affect the attitude of the general population. And we have probably been through one of those periods over recent decades. The revelation of the extent of child abuse within religious institutions destroyed the confidence that many people had in those that they considered to be representatives of God. Whatever confidence there had been in the political system was greatly shaken by the revelations concerning Charles Hockey's personal wealth and extravagant lifestyle, his yachts, racehorses, and private island, not to mention the infamous Charvet shirts, all the time while everyone else was told to tighten their belts. The scandals in the political realm were so many that even the Teflon Taoiseach himself couldn't wipe clean the accusations of corruption. It became apparent that all honour that we had for the role of leader of the country was gone when casual names were replaced by derogatory names, when Bertie was replaced by Biffo. I think at that point, all honour was gone. You see, as a country, we don't really do honouring authority very well. But we're reminded here that as God's people, we are not to conform to the pattern of this world. Instead, we are to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And this passage that we're going to look at this morning calls upon the Christian to have a different attitude to authority than the world in which we live. We are to give honour to the authorities that God has put in place. Let's start by asking the question, why is it that we rebel against authority? You see, this passage reveals that our resistance to authority lies much deeper than we think. We like to think that the reason we rebel against authority is a sense of justice or injustice. There's been much resistance to what many consider the government's unfair austerity measures, which seem to penalise the average citizen. We like to think that the reason we rebel against authority is because of incompetence on the part of our leaders. No matter what our leaders do, there will always be those who say they're making the wrong decisions, and that if they were in power, they would make different decisions. We like to think that the reason we rebel against authority is because of blatant self-interest. Those in power are only looking after themselves. They're not really concerned about the average person. But this passage in Romans 13 reveals to us that our resistance to authority lies much deeper than we think. The root of our rebellion is not the injustice, incompetence, or self-interest of our leaders. The root of our rebellion against authority is because naturally we are in rebellion against our Creator God. Look at verses 1 and 2. Everyone must submit to the governing authorities because there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Consequently, he who rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and those who do so will bring judgment upon themselves. The root of our rebellion has nothing to do with injustice, incompetence, or self-interest. The root of our rebellion is that the human race is in rebellion against its Creator God. It was a rebellion that began in Eden, when instead of living in glad obedience to the command of a loving Creator, our first parents thought they knew better. They were led to believe that God's command was unjust. Why would a good God not allow them to eat from this tree in the middle of the garden with such beautiful fruit? They were led to believe that God was incompetent. The devil told them that God had got it all wrong. They would not die if they ate the fruit that God had forbidden. They were led to believe that God was self-serving. The devil told them that God did not want them to be like him, knowing good from evil. What the Apostle Paul is telling us here is that our rebellion against authority reveals a much deeper problem, that we are naturally in rebellion against our Creator God. Now, many of you are probably familiar with George Orwell's novel, Animal Farm. In the novel, the animals rebel against Mr. Jones, the incompetent farmer, the owner of the farm, and attempt to set up a farm in which all animals are equal. As time passes, that statement is clarified. All animals are equal, but some are more equal than others. By the end of the novel, the pigs are having a poker game with neighboring farmers, and as the other animals look on, everyone is struck by the fact that they can no longer tell the difference between the pigs and the humans. Orwell's novel is an allegory of the Russian Revolution and the rule of Joseph Stalin, but Orwell understood that the root of the rebellion was not the incompetence of Mr. Jones. The root was much deeper. The root of rebellion lies in the sinfulness of the human heart. Naturally, we are in rebellion against our Creator God, and we do not want to submit to any authority. We want to rule over our own lives. We hate other people telling us what we should do. And the authorities that God has put in place are specifically put there for that very reason, to tell us what we cannot do. The authorities that God has put in place are there to say to us, no, you cannot do that. The authorities that God has put in place have been put there to restrain the sinful desires of the human heart. You only need to see what happens when those restraints are removed. Look at the riots that took place in London in 2011 following the death of Mark Duggan in Tottenham. What began as a resistance to the actions of the police quickly spiraled out of control. As the police struggled to control the riots and reinforcements were brought in from other places, looting started in other cities. The ability to restrain evil was gone, and the rebellion of the human heart spilled over onto the streets. The reason that God has established authorities is for the very purpose of saying, no, you cannot do that. And every human heart rebels against that very thing. No human heart wants to be told what to do. But as God's people, we need to recognize the authorities established by God and live gladly under that authority which God has given for our own good. I want to think this morning about three areas of authority which God has established for our good. They are parents, government, and church leadership. And then we want to consider at the end why we should live gladly under these authorities. Within society, the family is the primary social unit. God has created it to be that way. Our parents are the very first ones to say to us, "No, you can't do that." And it doesn't take long before they start saying it. Some of you are wondering if they are ever going to stop saying that. What we need to remember is that parents are an authority established by God for our own good. One of the Ten Commandments says, "Honor your father and mother so that you may live long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you." Now that seems like a strange ending to the command, doesn't it? What did honoring parents have to do with living long in the land that God was giving to the nation of Israel? Well, God had told the Israelites that they would enjoy the promised land so long as they lived in obedience to God and lived under the authority of his word. If they turned away from him, the land would be taken from them. If they faithfully followed him, they would enjoy the land that God had given to them. Now think of the passage we read this morning from Romans chapter 13. It reveals to us that the reason we rebel against authority is because naturally we are in rebellion against God. And when we rebel against the authorities that God has put in place, we are ultimately rebelling against God himself, the authorities that God has put in place for our own good. So when in the nation of Israel people rebelled against the authority of their parents, they were ultimately rebelling against the authority of God himself. Now that means when you want to go somewhere and your parents say no, that rebelling against them is ultimately rebelling against God himself. That means that every time you speak harshly to your parents, you're revealing that you're resisting God's authority in your life. That means that every time you refuse to do what your parents say you should do, you're rebelling against what God says and the authority that he has put in place in your life. And what it reveals is that all is not well in your heart and that you're in need of God's help. When you rebel against the authority that God has put in place, it reveals that all is not well in your heart and that you are in desperate need of God's help. Does that mean that everything your parents say and do is right? No. They'll make mistakes. They will make decisions that they will later regret. But that is not the root of your rebellion against their authority. The root of your rebellion is your own sinful heart, which you need God to transform and change. Now, while all the parents are nodding, let me go straight to the governing authorities and ask those very same questions. Is everything that the government says and does right? No. They'll make mistakes. They will make decisions that they will later regret. But that is not the root of your rebellion against governing authorities. The root of your rebellion is your sinful heart, which only God can change. You see, we can't accept what I've said about the authority of parents and deny it about governing authorities, because they too have been established by God. In fact, it's these authorities in particular that the Apostle Paul has in mind in this particular passage. He's talking specifically about paying taxes and obeying the laws of the land. Listen to the words of the Apostle Peter in 1 Peter 2, verses 16 and 17. Live as free men, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as servants of God. Show proper respect for the brotherhood of believers. Fear God. Honor the King. It's interesting that Peter puts both of those things together, fearing God and honoring the King. Why? Because the King was an authority established by God for the good of those who lived under his rule. Now, of course, the question that we all want to ask is, what if we live under the rule of a corrupt king, a corrupt government? Are we free to not show honor to such authority? Well, let me read on from that passage in 1 Peter chapter 2. Right after speaking about fearing God and honoring the king, Peter goes on to address slaves who were to be subject to their masters. And he encourages slaves to submit to their masters, even if at the hand of that master he experiences unjust suffering. Does unjust suffering free the slave from submitting to his master? Not at all. In fact, Peter writes in 1 Peter 2, verse 19, it is commendable if a man bears up under the pain of unjust suffering. Why? Because he is conscious of God. Why was the slave not to rebel against the authority of an unjust master? Because he was conscious of God. He wanted to please God. He feared God. Now, that is not the thinking of the world in which we live. The world's thinking is that you only honor what you consider worthy of honor. But you see, the Christian honors all authority because those authorities have been established by God, who is worthy of honor. Conscious of God, we are to honor even unworthy authority. Not because they are worthy of honor, but because the God who has established that authority is worthy of honor. We're only free to resist those authorities when we are being coerced to do that which God himself has forbidden. And then and only then we are to say with the early disciples, we must obey God rather than men. The third authority I want us to consider this morning is that of church leadership. As Paul was saying farewell to the elders in the church in Ephesus, he commanded them in Acts chapter 20, verse 28, keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. Church leadership has been established by God for the good of his own people. God has seen fit to put leaders in his church to guard against false teaching and to warn against sinful conduct. And when we resist the leadership that God has established, we are rebelling against God himself. In this past year, I have had to warn people about sinful behavior, of the consequences of it, of the danger of persisting in it, of the need to turn away from it. And I would love to be able to say that it has always been received gladly, but it has not. There have been those who have been confronted by the clear teaching of God's word and chosen to turn away from it and pursue the path that they are choosing for themselves. I would love to be able to say that as others have become aware of sinful attitudes and behavior in their own lives, they have always willingly and gladly looked for the help and direction of God's word. But they have not. They would prefer to hide their sinful behavior and continue on as though there was nothing wrong. they refuse the help that God has provided by establishing leadership in the church to help them deal with their sinful behavior and sinful attitudes. However, there have been others who have become confused about certain teaching that they have received and wanted to understand the truth of God's word, and they have gladly sought help in understanding what God's word teaches. There have been others who have become aware of sinful behavior in their own lives and have looked for help in dealing with that sinful behavior and sinful attitudes. There have been others who had to be confronted about certain sinful behavior and were told, "No, you cannot do that," and they gladly submitted to the instruction of God's word. These are people who realize that church leadership has been established by God for their own good, and they have benefited from it. I want to finish this morning by asking, why should we submit to these authorities? The first reason that we're told to submit to authority here is the fear of punishment. It's the only reason why a young child obeys a parent. It's the only reason why most of us obey the speed limits on the roads. It's not the highest reason, it's not the best reason that we submit to authority, but it is the first reason. It's the reason that God has established governing authorities, because without fear of punishment, there would be no restraint upon the sinful desires of the human heart. But as Christians, we should be motivated by more than the fear of punishment. The second reason we should submit to authority is because of conscience, we're told in verse 5. We should know within ourselves that our rebellion against authority is ultimately a rebellion against God. When we resist our parents, refuse to pay taxes, and fail to heed the warnings of church leaders, we should be troubled within ourselves as God's Spirit speaks to our spirits, as God disturbs our peace and prompts our minds with His Word. A troubled conscience should cause us to turn from our rebellion against God and to seek to live in obedience to His will. Now, if you're a follower of the Lord Jesus and you have been resisting the authorities that God has established without it troubling your conscience, can I warn you that you're in a very dangerous place, because you have hardened your heart towards God. And can I warn you that if your conscience has been troubled, but you have failed to act upon it and you have done nothing about it, you are in the process of hardening your hearts towards God. And soon your conscience will not be troubled by your stubborn resistance to the authorities that God has established. You see, the conscience is meant to lead us to the third reason why we should submit to authority. We should gladly submit to authority because it is God's good, pleasing, and perfect will. Why has God established authority? It is for our own good. And as we said last week, there is no difference between our good and what God commands. They are one and the same thing. So when God calls us to submit to the authorities that He has put in place, we should do so gladly, knowing that it is for our own good. God has provided us with imperfect parents for our own good and protection. God has provided us with an imperfect government for our own good and protection. And God has provided imperfect church leaders for our own good and protection. Do we throw off those authorities that God has established because they are not perfect, not at all. We should accept them gladly as God's good gifts and give them honor, even if they're not deserving of honor, because the good God who has established that authority is worthy of all honor and of all praise. Let's pray together.